Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com. This is a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Sazza. Welcoming in Chris Anderson. Chris, looking up my ceiling. Roof's not caving in. Got a window here. Sky isn't falling. That said, today's date, somewhat significant based on the last time we talked about West Virginia men's basketball on a podcast. No official hire since we last spoke, where I think maybe one or both of us said, if there were none, then hey, then come back and we can talk about retrieving, dusting off, and then maybe even pressing the panic button. All right, I've retrieved it, dusted it off. Are we going to press the panic button this morning?
Not yet. What did we say? We had the panic meter, which...
Did we?
The panic meter. We didn't have the panic meter. Somebody asked us a panic meter, gave us a 1 to 10 scale. We said, make it a 6, which doesn't really mean that much. And then we'll come back later. I'm creeping to 7.5, but not that much more. Again, I think we said then if we come back Monday and nothing's going on, it's time for concern. There was enough that kind of leaked out over the weekend that it was a, hey, you know, things are going to be fine. It just seems like there's a hierarchy that needs to be done here. We can talk about that in a minute as far as the coaching staff. A few kinks need to be worked out, but in general, they might have things kind of squared away. As of this morning, we are recording this 9 a.m. Monday morning. No transfer commitments, no official coaching signings. So that's something. I just don't think it's as bad as maybe it would have been. If you would have told me this last week, I would have been like, whoa, this is not good. But there are things brewing. So I'm not upping the panic meter quite yet.
Okay. Yeah. I always operate on like a 5. So 0 through 10, I'm always a 5. So if I'm at a beach, on vacation, Europe, Central America, wherever, right? Then I'm maybe like a 2. Because something's probably going to happen when I'm on vacation, right? But 5 is about normal, you know, for me. That's the way I go. I don't panic. I worry. That's about me. When they don't have any coaches, I can't be a 5 at that point because it's a little bit unusual. 6 is not a big deal to me. It's like thunderstorms. A little worried, but it'll be okay. And then you're right. The stuff that we've heard for the past couple of days, yeah, probably feel a little bit better. Right now, though, 7.5. Oh, see, I'm not even there. So now you're the one who's panicked, Chris. But I think what you're saying, though, is that like a lack of a press release is not the lack of progress here. And we've certainly heard enough in the past couple of, you know, hours, days to fill in some blanks and learn a little bit more. And I would be very surprised if this podcast is fresh or even relevant by the time some people hear it, depending. If you hear this Wednesday, maybe it might be dated a little bit. Heck, if you hear this by Monday afternoon, it might be dated a little bit. HR and the way that allied departments work, they don't work on Saturdays and Sundays sometimes too. So it might be a Monday morning kind of a thing. And who knows? They might want to just have one press release with all five assistant coaches on there. I guess four more because they have one right now that's already been announced. But we'll see. Let's go over what we know, Chris. We think we can paint in a couple of these spots. One down, four to go. College basketball expanded benches from three assistant coaches to five before last season. Three can recruit off campus, two cannot. West Virginia has one of its five right now, Nick Norton, who's the assistant coach slash director of player development. I would presume he's going to be a off the court recruiting assistant. He will not be one of the three. I would assume we can ask that question, get that answer. That means four more spots and $1.25 million to devote to that allotment of coaches. Much of that is seemingly going to go to one assistant coach who it seems like is all but delivered. Has been signed and sealed. That would be Chester Frazier from Illinois. What do we know? What do we think about this one, Chris?
So this seems like the most on piece, next piece, I guess, out of all this, because there were two that kind of leaked out over the weekend, and this seems to be one that's done. Our guys in Illinois say it's done. Sources in West Virginia say it's done. It's just not announced, so I guess we can't say it's done. I put on Saturday night, like, hey, count this 98%. And I think you made a key point there about him getting a lot of that money. He got paid quite a bit at Illinois. Is he going to get paid more? What was it, 650,000, somewhere in that range? Don't know if
Would you
he'll
like to
get
know?
paid more. I don't know if he'll
Three
get paid
year
more than that, but
contract, first year 525. That began in 21-22. They got extended after the first year, and according to public filings through the university, Chester Lee Frazier made $720,000 last year. If he made that here, they would have like $400,000 to give to their last four assistant coaches. Let me see here. 158. Average salary. So you're talking, yeah, like 150 to like 160,000 per assistant coach left. So he's not going to make $720,000. I would be very surprised. Otherwise, Chris, you and I may get a phone call. I would do the job for $150,000. Just want to say I wouldn't last very long. I would require a high buyout too. So
at least I'd have a
unlikely
source on
to
the inside, right? Would you
make.
feed me info if you got a job?
That would cause some of our current problems to go away. But yeah, probably not going to make 720, 525, Chris. No assistant coach here has ever made 525. So it's good money for sure. But continue, please.
So, but the point, whatever the number is in that range, it's hefty. We agree on that. We don't know the exact number. We won't know the exact number until, you get your FOIA contracts out and everything like that. But it's, if you're putting together a budget and you're trying to put together a staff, you're not going to add the cheaper pieces and then go get the big whale. You're going to get the big piece first and then figure out the rest of it later. And so that's where this all makes sense, is they got to figure out the monetary part of this with Chester Frazier, the big piece, the big spending piece of this coaching staff, and then fill in the rest around him. So the fact that he wasn't finalized or isn't finalized or maybe is currently being finalized is probably what's holding up the next couple pieces of this puzzle, which again, we can talk about in a second. But once you sit back, turn off the panic meter, and think about it a little bit, it makes sense that you want to get this one big chunk of the pie, signed and done before you start filling in around him.
Yeah, and we've heard different names for the other pieces for a couple of days, maybe even longer than a couple of days right now, perhaps a week in excess of that. And they might be there, and they might be there tomorrow, they might be there Wednesday. But to your point, you build around certain numbers on your staff so you can give an accurate picture to someone who's coming from a MAC school, someone who's coming from a smaller conference that wants to know exactly how much he's going to be making at a new spot. Is it worth it? Does he want to? Would he go from being a first or second assistant in a smaller conference to a third or fourth assistant to Power Five? Well, dollars and cents kind of make that decision a little bit easier sometimes too. So if you can be more accurate, that answer, that helps certainly. So you might see things fall into place after that too. The other part about this is too, and I without knowing for sure here, see, it just strikes me that what might concern people about their current state is that it's unlikely that they haven't asked anybody if they want the job or offer anybody the job. They might have heard no or not now on some of these things, and that progress can be, you know, that pause in progress can be hard to figure out which is which sometimes too. So is he the first guy they went after? Let's say no. But if you still have your other three or four assistant coaches who are ready to go and they just need to know the parameters, you're fine. You still need to get your major hire right. And if this is their guy, that's their major hire, you work around it. And if everything else falls into place, the timing of it doesn't really matter so much. You still got who and what. You just didn't get the when part. And the when might only matter to people like you and me and people listening, Chris. So that's not too big of a deal. And that's why the question is kind of tricky and sometimes subjective too. In Frazier, they get what seems like your, I guess, defensive coordinator, if we want to speak universally here. Obviously, Rem Baker had prioritized defensive coaching in his search. That was written about, talked about. Eyebrows were raised about it, but that's going to be something that they value here. And even DeVries said that in his press conference. Just because the talent on offense, you're going to have to be able to defend. You're not going to be able to score 85 points every night and win. You might have to win 68 to 61 sometimes, too. So you got a defensive coach, you can do it. We speculated, perhaps irresponsibly for a while, Chris. Guys like Matt Mosley, who was at Wake Forest and had worked with DeVries before Drake. Renowned defensive coach. Could that be someone that he would hire? I don't know, maybe not somebody he would hire, but the profile you get, you go outside and you look at someone who can get defensive principles and discipline into your program right away. Frazier seems like that. You accomplish that quite a bit if you get him. He's a two-time All Big Ten defender. He coached for Bruce Weber. He played for Bruce Weber. Illinois has been kind of going toward offense the past couple of years. They've been very good offensively, have not been as good defensively. He's leaving with time on his contract. Who knows why? We'll see. But it might just be you know, a different era, different trend for Illinois right now. Perhaps he wants something that he can do that more aligns with where he's from, but also what he is good at. And if DeVries is looking for a defensive assistant in the Big 12, kind of makes sense, I guess. It's not so weird to leave your alma mater, leave the Big 10 for a Big 12 job. That's fine. It doesn't look weird at all. And this guy does seem like he can coach in defense. That would work too. So you're kind of checking off a couple of boxes at once here, if and when this does get done.
Some other names we've heard. I believe it was Saturday night. Austin of CBS Sports posts that Nelson Hernandez will be taking on the general manager role at West Virginia. I checked the official website, Mike. There is no general manager role at West Virginia University men's basketball. Is this a replacement for Jay Kuntz? His title. Is this just a different title for the same job? Tell me what this is.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Jay Kuntz's days are numbered here. His contract runs out April 30th, and from the very beginning, we said that it's highly, highly unlikely that he comes back. They're just going to change a lot of stuff, and part of that is I think they want to have a football model here. Football has Drew Fabianich. That has been a celebrated addition. Why can't basketball have something like that? And I think if you're just being real about what happened with basketball this year, there needs to be like a top-down flow chart organization, whatever you say. It just has to be streamlined because it did not work out well. And if it doesn't work out well, sometimes you take it apart. And when you put it back together again, it's not going to look the same. And that's not necessarily bad. Sometimes you find a flaw when you deconstruct and then reconstruct. Not saying that Jay's the flaw, but like that's just the process you have to go through. But I also think that from the very beginning, there are people who were not going to be part of the future here. And that was one of them. That was one of them. You could take apart and put back together again what happened in the past year. I think that they have to like look at a lot of their stuff when it comes to player acquisition. And part of that is getting somebody who's in charge and has fresh eyes on it too. There was a lot of stuff that just didn't make sense when it came to NIL, when it came to personnel decisions. And I'm talking stuff like Bob Huggins saying he never watched Jose Perez film or film of players who were transfers coming into town, to players who were just like promised things and maybe didn't get them, or who were promised one thing and given another. And there's just a bunch of clouds and convolution in between there too. And I think it needs to be, like I said, streamlined and top down, one person in charge. So you get a general manager and you mimic what football has done and what other successful programs in basketball and football are doing. It does resemble a front office. If we're calling this like a professional model now in college sports, then why aren't we modeling your basketball and your football offices to mimic NFL and NBA front offices? It just seems like it works. And I think West Virginia could study that pretty easily because there are programs in the Big 12, but there's also like West Virginia graduates who are front office people in the NBA who can give you an idea of how to structure it and maybe even give you names. Hernandez is just interesting because I hadn't heard that name ever before the other day. And I cover the Big 12 and have done quite a bit of stuff with people who work in personnel and NIL and things like that. His name just never came up. Not to say he's not good at it, but like it is an out of the blue thing because we have been looking into this team having a general manager and having somebody in charge. And this would appear to be it. But here's the thing, Chris, is that his sole role? That's his one function. Or is he going to be like Nick Norton, where he's an assistant coach / general manager? I would think it's a singular role and he's not one of your five assistants, but also it's possible that he is one of the two who does not go out in recruiting and therefore he has the time to devote to a second task. That's just a massive second task.
Yeah, and I was going to say Hernandez, newish name, new name to the Big 12, was only at Oklahoma State for, what was that, one season, maybe two? One season. He was at LSU before that for several years and VCU for a couple before that, but also never as an on-floor assistant. So I'm with you. Is this going to be one of those five assistants? Is he going to be involved on the bench? Is he going to be involved in day-to-day kind of practices and everything like that? Or is he one of those guys that's off the court and doesn't count towards that $1.4 million salary pool? Some other names that have popped up. A couple that we kind of know have interviewed, pretty certain they've interviewed Larry Blunt and Rob Fulford. Those are guys who kind of have similar-ish backgrounds where they're tied, have strong ties to high school and prep schools all around the country, have served as assistant coaches in college basketball. And again, it sounds like they're both realistic, but it seems like maybe both are kind of holding on and waiting until the Chester Frazier thing is finalized and then everything else is finalized, but both potential ads. People got kind of thrown off with, like, for instance, Fulford, because again, this is the James Okonkwo, Seth Wilson, both at Akron, where Fulford is right now, both visiting this past weekend, both committing this past weekend. One, Okonkwo being hosted, not hosted like a recruit, but kind of being led around by Fulford. Yeah. So it was the question of, wait, is he still at Akron? Right now he's at Akron. So we'll see where it goes there. I guess that's, again, that'll wait on the Frazier thing, and then maybe we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, don't feel poorly about Rob Fulford doing that too. That's the way this business is, man. You do your job as long as you have your job. Like, to that point, Jay Kuntz is still showing up to work.
and is still like around the building and is, hey, if you need me, please ask. And I'm not sure how much they do or how much they want to, but you just do the job. And he's probably going to be somewhere before too long, but he's here right now. And Fulford, the same thing. Like, you have that job until you no longer do. So if he's got kids coming up, and I don't know what he tells them, if that's his business, if that's theirs, that's a whole different thing. That's very individual for coaches. They have their own stylings, but you're going to have to make a decision sometimes too about, do you just not do your job for 4 days and find out you don't have the golden parachute coming your way? Like, what if the money isn't right for him? What if he becomes the number one assistant in Akron because something happens? There's a bunch of different things there. So I know it's a weird look if this is in fact what happens. That's just the way it is right now, too. Going back to Hernandez, Chris, 1 year as an assistant coach, though. Fresno State, they're 11-20, and that's it. And then he went from there to player development at Oklahoma State. And the NIL tales from there are not great. So this is a curious hire and what he wants to do, what DeVries wants to do with him, and what the background is. Because in addition to his 14 years in basketball with some good coaches, from Stu Merrill to Will Wade, Chris, he produced a documentary. He was working with Native American youth groups. He's got a master's in education. Pretty curious guy here. And I wonder if maybe he's just a guy who's fated to be off the court and do better things, do different things. I shouldn't say better, but do different things than being an on the court assistant. But will he also be an assistant / general manager? We'll see. And also, we're going off a Rothstein tweet, not a press release and not anything official. And like, the people I've talked to have been like, yeah, that's news to me. Or I know he's a name. I don't know what the capacity is. So that one is yet to be answered as well.
One quick thing before we turn to player, guys that are actually going to play the game of basketball for West Virginia. On the Fulford thing, the people I'm speaking to, again, you can imagine, Conquo at West Virginia covered his recruitment throughout. So been talking to people in the Conquo camp, and he's very well aware that Fulford might be in position for the WV job. So this is not going to be a bad look. Like you said, everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows they're supposed to do their job right up until the end. And Okonkwo and Seth Wilson are both very much aware of what's going on there. On the player front, a couple visitors this weekend. One of them, Connor Enright, who came from Drake, immediately commits to DePaul as his visit ends. I think, one, he's from around there, so that's part of it. Two, a lot of talk of, hey, he's probably going to have a bigger role at DePaul than maybe what West Virginia had in store for him, or Coach DeVries had in store for him at West Virginia. So I don't know. I mean, he started for DeVries at Drake every single game this past season. I just don't know how big of a role, if they were planning on him having that big of a role at West Virginia this year. I don't know what to take of that, but timing's not great. But not too worried about it. Mike, you got any thoughts on that?
Didn't see him when they were out on their trip Saturday. They went to a baseball game Saturday. Did not see him. And that stood out to me. Was he in, because he was in town. So was he there briefly? Did he have somewhere else to be? The answer is yes, obviously. He's a 6 foot guard, Chris. 6 foot 180, I think. Nice player. Worked well what they did. Had a good season. I'm not saying that he's irreplaceable, though. If you're looking for a shooter, heat check guy, a source of offense off the bench, or just a catch and go two guard, 6 foot 180, you can find that. Would he have been big enough, fast enough, strong enough to play in the conference in like a 32 minute night basis? No, probably not. Would he have been like a good bench guy? Guys in foul trouble, you're getting zone, you need somebody, your point guard won't stay out of the paint, he can keep kicking to the corner. I'm sure there's a use for him too. I do think he could find that somewhere else too. So not a surprise that I would say surprising, because he was here and he prioritized this visit to be with his old coach. Not like he's on the way to and from DePaul. Like, Morgantown's a bit out of the way. So that was curious. Not going to press the panic button on that one, Chris.
Well, the other visitors, Teen Wright from Drake, also another guard. No word yet on any commitment, but right now this was the only visit he had on his schedule. He has... I wouldn't say none of these transfers are very open about their recruitment at all. I mean, they'll post a tweet saying they've got a top group or whatever. Maybe they'll post a couple pictures, but he was pretty open about this being his only visit at the moment. So that seems notable, but as of right now, no commitment. And then the other visitor, Toby Okani from Illinois, Chicago. Another one of those, again, you got me thinking. He looks like a fine player. I like it. I like how he's kind of an all-around player, offense and defense. And I love the length. Like, if you could talk me into a team full of, you know, 5'7", 6'8" guys, I would be in heaven. And he kind of fits in that. He is a 6'8" guy who's nice and long, averages 2 blocks a game despite being somewhat of a wing player. Also 1.5 steals. Like he just has very big wingspan and disrupts a lot of what other teams do. So I think that would be a big add. And I think that it's notable that he is the only non-Drake player that became a priority for DeVries. So I think he sees it as well.
We mentioned that Josiah Harris and Tucker DeVries might not have been Batman and Robin. There was going to be something problematic about those two playing the 3 and the 4, or the 4 and the 3, however you want to do it. I think DeVries is probably going to profile as a 4. And if not, he's going to have someone next to him that can play the 4 if DeVries plays the 3. It's going to be matchup dependent. I understand that. Is Okani a better match, a better partner for him in that role than Harris? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Be curious what happens with Harris in his future here, because I don't know. He's like a 2-skill and a 3-body, but he doesn't have the footwork and the movement to actually to cut it out there on the perimeter against Big 12 wings. Can Okani do that? So Duquesne to UIC has a relationship, by the way, Chris, with Chester Frazier. Not sure what, just heard they have some sort of prior relationship. There's going to be familiarity there, and I'm sure that if they like him and they have him here, and like again, as you said, the non-Drake player here, there's something about him. They know they can pencil in. So I would buy into this one, and especially Wright. I think there's a really good chance that Wright ends up here for the reasons you just mentioned, and I think there's going to be some competition for Okani, but from what I've heard, Okani's the guy they really want out of the portal. I don't know if that means they don't want Wright, or maybe they just feel like they got Wright, or it's going to be easier to get him. Maybe Okani's a little bit more elusive, but I've heard Okani is a guy that they really, really want out of this portal class.
Now, I think there could be a lot of wants because right now, the only players on the roster for West Virginia as of right now, 6 players. Jeremiah Bembry, Noah Farrakhan, Kobe Johnson, high school recruit KJ Tenner, who is committed but not yet signed, Ofri Nave, and Tucker DeVries. Because Wilson's gone, Kreese is gone, Josiah Harris is gone, Pat Sumnick's gone. All entering the portal. It seems Quinn Slezinski is not going to apply for a medical waiver. And then, of course, Battle, Akook, and Edwards all out of eligibility. So right now it's 6. So they definitely certainly need to add some people. I did notice a tweet. I do peek over there every once in a while. But it came from a couple of Drake people, Drake fans, saying that they were basically going through this every year with DeVries, where it always seemed like, oh my God, you got 6 more spots to fill on this roster and it's late. And he just did it. So this is not unfamiliar territory. If random Twitter accounts are to be believed, this is not unfamiliar territory for Darren DeVries. But I think within the next 24 to 48 hours, you'll probably get some good news on the transfer front. I can't imagine Okani and Wright are coming here like this with no other visits planned without the intention of eventually committing here.
You have not mentioned one name I think a lot of people are interested in and probably saw the news and are thus curious about, but Kevin Overton has the final 6. He included West Virginia as well as Texas Tech, where he was this past weekend. Really appealing player. I think you've been high on him from the moment that you first heard about this possibility of DeVries and who would come with him. Good stats, kind of like Oklahoma friendly right now. I think he's been maybe leaning toward Oklahoma, but here he is, Big 12, Texas Tech. He's got West Virginia in the final 6. Final 6 is a big list. I think we probably focus on smaller groups than that in college basketball, but he's supposed to decide tomorrow. I don't know about this coming out for West Virginia, huh?
No, I don't imagine. I was told last week that he had an invitation to come up this weekend. They didn't have an answer at the time of whether or not he was going to take them up on that. And then somebody sent me the Instagram photo or whatever it was of him at Texas Tech for his visit instead, which seemed to tell me everything I needed to know about what the plan is for him. Again, not necessarily Texas Tech, but like you said, he's from, I believe it's Oklahoma City or somewhere near Norman, Oklahoma. So there's been a lot of talk about him and the Sooners, been leaning towards the Sooners. We'll see. One of those two schools are the most likely scenarios for him. I guess it could be West Virginia, but without a visit, I'm just not seeing it.
Well, if he goes to Oklahoma, he could be back in the portal again next year, too. So don't close the book on that one.
That is true.
You see?
That is very true.
Do you foresee anybody from the West Virginia incumbents leaving? It sounds like Farrakhan is probably going to have a role in a spot as long as he wants one. Kobe Johnson's a bit of a mystery, but could be helpful. Ofri Nabe, I don't know. I don't know. and the numbers here are not great, but like I think there's a point where you said they need six. All of a sudden, the guys who were here already, are they more appealing? Have they done a smart thing by hanging around and not entering the portal? They can enter the portal. You know, there's not a ton of time left, but like they still can, and they haven't. I don't know if we make anything of that yet.
With you, the fact that they haven't yet, there's been plenty of time to do so, tells me that they might be evaluating their options. Because again, just because you're not in there doesn't mean there isn't somebody working on your behalf to try to find out if you got a home somewhere else.
Yeah.
For a lot of these kids, you probably don't want to enter the portal unless you already know you have a new home somewhere else. And if you're watching all these other players depart and no one else coming in, like say, for instance, if you are Noah Farrakhan or Jeremiah Bembry or Kobe Johnson, you're like, hey, they've had one guard on campus and that's it. And I haven't seen anybody else come in. And there might be some playing time. I was playing last year. So you might see some more, you know, kind of a, hey, this ain't so bad here. I might have an opportunity, more of an opportunity here than I would at any other. How many conferences are we saying are power in basketball now? Is it six still?
Well, I just call them major conferences now.
Major. So. There we go. Okay. Whatever it is, like you're probably looking at this scenario if you're one of those guys that's saying, how many major conference teams am I going to have this kind of opportunity at? And the answer is probably not very many. So why would I leave West Virginia? So I wouldn't rule out some of these guys ending up staying.
Yeah. And you got to think too, they probably met their coach right now and their coach has probably told them, I don't want you. If that had happened, they probably wouldn't be here. So there may be a spot there too. Also, just go to the NIL shop and get your Ali Ragab jerseys now too, because who's bigger and bulkier than him on this roster? Big fella might have a shot, Chris.
Maybe.
Got to keep him on campus now. Go to the NIL shop.
There you go. Well, Mike, do you want to wrap this up before everything we says becomes irrelevant because of a press release comes out in 30 minutes?
Let's do it. I would expect some things to start falling into place right now. You're right. The keystone factor of Chester Frazier, get him in place, build around him, and then let the players go home. I don't know how many more visits they have left. Let them think about it, sleep on it. I don't want to predict anything, and I don't want to project anything. My feeling here is that your apprehensions will begin to go away sooner than later when it comes to staffing and the roster. Fair?
Fair. Give me one number, your panic meter, 1 to 10. Put it out there. We need a weekly update.
I'm like a 6.5.
Okay. I went from a 6/7 to a 7/7.5. So,
okay. See, we're about the same ratio then, proportionally. Yeah. About the same. Okay. All right. Until next time, I will be dusting and fiddling with the panic button as Mike Casaza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.